Welcome back to IIIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge, and we are discussing the sayings of Imam Ali. So he's saying, Ajabu li hazal insan. We should be wonder-stricken, we should be surprised at and see how this human being has been created. Many people don't think that the creation of the human being is something carried out by the Supreme Being, Allah Almighty. They think that it is the result of random creation, of random evolution, which has no purpose. There's no purpose in it. And matter, it is pure matter. But coming to the very immaterial construction of the human being, it is so wonderful that it cannot be possible to have been created in a random way, without any purpose, without any plan, without any design. So he says, "Yanzuru bishahmin." The human being sees through the eyes, which are made up of not flesh. It's not flesh or meat. It is a fatty tissue. Today we have discovered the uniqueness of the eyeballs, the eyes, the cornea, the retina, the lens. They are all very precisely created by Allah Almighty, and everything is in a very special, unique way that the eye's functions are carried out in different situations. The light is strong, it is dark. You see that the lens adjusts itself and the muscles surrounding it support it. And these are the tissues that are created by in a very designed manner to carry out these functions. As if you are looking through a telescope or a microscope, in the same way the eyes functions in a very beautiful manner. Previously, people would think that scientists at that time would think that the rays come out of the eyes, but today it has been proven that rays come from outside and they create the image in the retina through the eyeballs, and everything is done in a very exact manner. And you have the blood supply also in a very intricate way. The blood is not flooding the eyeballs. It is providing through very, very, very fine capillaries that carry out this function of supporting this eye and keeping it alive. It's a live tissue. So this is the wonder of this eyes that has been created by Allah Almighty. We shall continue in the next section.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IIIB English Radio. This is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqawi, with the program The Gate of Knowledge. We were discussing the wonderful hadith from Mawla Ali, where he was talking about the wonders of the creation of the human being. And the first part was talking about the eyes and how they function. Yanzuru bishahmin. At that time, when the Master of the Faithful mentioned this, nobody could have maybe understood what he was saying. That there's a fatty tissue through which the eyes are created and made to function as a telescope, as a microscope would work. But it's much more natural. It is much more in a very intricate and very unique way. وَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِلَحْمٍ. The second part is talking about the way he speaks, the tongue, that the human being speaks through the tongue. It is made up of flesh, of meat, of proteins. And it is also a wonderful thing that we see that various letters come out of the various parts of the mouth. The tongue is employed. It meets the teeth. It meets the upper palate of the mouth. And also various other organs of the mouth are working together in harmony to create letters and words and sentences. So this is also a very important aspect of the creation of the human being. So we shall continue in the next episode. This is your host saying goodbye to the program of The Gate of Knowledge from IRIB English Radio.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about Islam. Inventions that emerge from the Islamic world include the discovery of Critic acid, Jaber ibn Hayyan, architecture, the minaret, the bridge mill, the vertical axle windmill, teaching hospitals, marching bands, early torpedoes, the guitar, the lute, the water pipe, also known as hookah, early attempts at gliding, algebra, the pinhole camera, the laws of refraction of light in optic, coffee, and more. Muslim scholar Ibn Haytham, known as Al-Hazen in Europe, who was born in 965 AD, formulated the scientific method and has been referred to as the world's first true scientist. He is also often regarded as the first theoretical physicist, making a significant contribution to the theory of light and optics. Additionally, he developed what is called celestial mechanics, which led to the eventual work of Europeans such as Copernicus, Galileo, Johannes, Kepler, and Isaac Newton. Welcome, dear listeners, to another day on Iran Radio, broadcasting from the heart of Tehran. I invite you to settle in as we bring you a thoughtful blend of voices, views, and stories that matter. Our next program is Spotlight, your daily lens on the most crucial events happening in the world today. Join us for roundtable analysis and discussion of topical and sometimes controversial issues with two expert guests providing their sharp insights. That will be followed by Kids Corner. The program is all about children and child's play, a fun program specially made for children. Following that, Member brings the pulpit's wisdom to life. In Member, we feature selected excerpts from the speeches of well-known Islamic scholars covering a wide range of topics, including ethics, theology, Quranic interpretation, Islamic history, and sometimes even social and political issues. Member brings timeless words that inspire thought, faith, and action. Up next is Spotlight. Please stay with us.
Us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. Now, this Thursday marks the beginning of the final stage of Sahand 2025, a major counterterrorism drill hosted by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps involving military units from the Shanghai Cooperation Organization states. The IRGC Chief Commander, Major General Mohammad Pakpour, says that Iran, without limitation, is sharing all the valuable experience that it gained from fighting Takfiri terrorism in the region with SCO members and observer states. General Pakpour also emphasized the extensive and high-profile presence of military and security commanders from SCO partners in this exercise, a strong indication of interaction, synergy, and joint will to counter terrorism and enhance lasting security in the region. The fruits of a growing alliance within the SCO to secure regional peace and beyond is a focus of our Spotlight program. But first, here's a report.
Iran has launched a five-day anti-terrorism military exercise in East Azerbaijan province. Sahand 2025 is conducted within the framework of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization as a collective security mechanism to counter terrorist threats and militant groups. With 10 SCO member states participating, Sahand 2025 aims to safeguard peace, enhance military expertise, share counterterrorism experiences, build common understanding, and strengthen coordination among the member states' operational units. The Commander-in-Chief of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps has emphasized the counterterrorism nature of the exercise, saying that the IRGC has gained invaluable experiences thanks to directly engaging with terrorists, which can be shared with SCO member states.
After overcoming the 12-day imposed war, and despite all pressures and threats, Iran has focused, with national resolve and a strategic outlook, on strengthening regional and international cooperation. Iran's adopted an active and responsible position in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in terms of collective security. The Islamic Revolution Guard Corps has directly fought Takfiri, separatist, and state terrorists, thus gaining valuable and practical operational experience. We are ready to share these experiences with the SCO member states. The scourge of terrorism is not bound to a certain geography. Confronting this threat requires joint measures, specialized exercises, and exchange of experiences. That's what Sahand 2025 exercise is all about.
The commander of the IRGC ground force has also underscored the anti-terrorist nature of the drill, noting that Iran has long been a victim of terrorism.
This program is an anti-terrorism exercise because Iran has been a victim of terrorism. 17,000 Iranian people have been martyred in terrorist operations.
The drill spans land, naval, air, and drone operations. In the naval phase, warships and rapid reaction units carried out maneuvers against speedboats and secured maritime routes. Ground and coastal forces rehearsed urban clearance, infiltration of militant positions, and neutralization of explosive traps. Reconnaissance drones and electronic warfare systems provided real-time battlefield monitoring, boosting accuracy and reducing risks. General Sergei Kisani, Secretary of the Executive Committee of the SCO Regional Anti-Terrorist Structure, praised Iran's role in combating terrorism and described the exercise as successful.
I can give everyone this assurance. Based on the level of planning and organization, I've witnessed the second phase of the exercise, both the operational stage and other stages, has been successfully carried out.
Beyond its military dimension, Sahand 2025 carries a clear political and strategic message. It reflects the collective will of SCO members to confront transnational terrorism. Iran hosting the drill highlights the country's regional standing and deterrent capability. Officials say the exercise not only boosts regional security, but also signals Iran's readiness to confront transnational threats and play a central role in Eurasian security.
And now for your guests. Joining us, Mr. Masoud Shajadeh, political commentator and chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, joining us from London. And Mr. Ali Mourad, political commentator and writer, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Gentlemen, hello, welcome you both to the program. I guess, Mr. Shajadeh, we'll start with you out there in London. Your initial take, please, on Iran using these regional partners to forge this anti-terrorism alliance, one that supports, obviously, a multipolarity where no member is another's vassal.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a concept which is understood right across the world, you know, in any region, European region or anywhere else around the world. People share the issues of regional security, and that will give them further security, further sort of ability to stand against those who are trying to undermine the security of not just one nation, but the region as a whole. And that is even more true when it comes to Western Asia. The fact is this, that for too long, colonial powers have abused and undermined the interest of the region. And indeed, they took advantage of it. They sort of created adversaries between different nations, divide and rule, using sort of and promoting and creating sort of militant groups to undermine the security and undermine indeed the ability of independence of those nations. And one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons, have been the fact that this is an oil-rich region. And another factor is actually is a corridor between East and West, and indeed it's got a huge strategic sort of importance. And the fact that now Iran is initiating and encouraging the nations in the region to come together and address this sort of issue of security and anti-terrorism and coming together, making sure that the region is safe. And the only way to do it is by participation of all those nations, because they are the one who will benefit from security, and they are the one who will benefit from unity.
Thank you there for your initial take, Mr. Shahjadeh. And Ali Murad, welcome to the program. Thank you for your patience. Now, Ali, your opening thoughts as well on the IRGC with a number of these SCO member and observer states taking this initiative to share expertise, intel, and form this alliance against terrorism and other possible regional threats without incorporating any extra regional actors in the process?
Well, first of all, it's important that to take into consideration that the security of Asia and the Asian states is important when we are talking about the shaping of the new world order. Because as the Americans are expressing openly that they are still working on penetrating the states, the sovereign states, especially in Central Asia and in regions surrounding China, I think that Iran has a perfect experience here to play a role in safeguarding the regional security when talking about the latest means of the terrorist groups that are trying to penetrate the sovereignty and the trying to shake the security of the Asian states. I think that Iran has a remarkable experience here to provide to all the states that are friendly, that are willing to cooperate on every level, especially the security and the anti-terrorist level. Of course, Iran, during the last 15 years, was able to possess this experience with all the operations that were carried out by the IRGC, Al-Quds forces in Iraq, in Syria. They have been helping local resistance movements and as well as local armies in deterring the terrorist groups, because we know that the Americans and the Zionists, they have been using terrorist groups to penetrate and to topple elected governments in the region, in the West Asia region. And the main example here to provide is Syria, because we have seen in the end that the terrorists who have been aided by the Americans and the Zionists, as well as other regional powers, was able to reach the power and to be the next leader of Syria, with the help of the Americans and the and the babysitting of the Americans, because we were dealing with an Al-Qaeda terrorist group. Iran was fighting this group in Syria, in Iraq,
and
for sure that the Americans will sure be will try again to use the same tactic in other sovereign states, and I think that it is the right time now for Iran and other friends in the Asian continent to cooperate and to reach common understandings and to share experiences in this level.
Thank you, Ali. And I'm glad that you referred to and alluded to that the Syria involvement of Iran, because Mr. Masoud Shahjad, that's going to bring me to my next question. We've seen actors in the West persevere to paint this picture of the IRGC as this terrorist organization, while to Ali's point, through either direct involvement, as we saw in Iraq, or in an advisory capacity in Syria, the Corps spearheaded the fight against Daesh and other terrorism outfits in the region, and is now sharing that experience, that invaluable experience, with its allies in this coalition.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what we need to really understand that the world, the word terrorism and definition of terrorism, it's unfortunately it's been manipulated in the West. After 9/11, this was supposed to be a defined concept and defined sort of interpretation what terrorism is, but it has been sort of misused. So groups like MKO, who were terrorists, suddenly were taken out of the prescription, and they became a legitimate organization, while they've been involved in massacring huge number of people in Iran, in Iraq, and indeed even American citizens, American interests during the Shah time in Iraq. And so really what we've got now, it seems to be from the Western perspective, terrorists are those who are opposing the interest of the West. And indeed, sort of freedom fighters are the ones that they identify with. And we are seeing that being played out in these separatist groups, et cetera, from one side, and then from other side, legitimate sort of military of a nation is being sort of marked and marked or attempt to market as terrorists. In same time, 2 years of most visible genocide in the history of mankind is being sort of tolerated, and war crimes and genocide is being rewarded by financial support, political support, etc. The hypocrisy is very clear. What we are really talking about here is actually working against a definition of terrorism, which is understood and is indeed is legitimate, and not the interpretation that United States and West is putting on this. You know, that those who are fighting for the dignity and preservation of life in Palestinian lives are terrorists, and those who are committing the genocide are legitimate. This sort of hypocrisy should not play a role, and it does not play a role in the discussion we're having today. The discussion we're having today is very clear that you can't make one nation secure without cooperation between the regional powers. And this is what is happening in Iran now in the region, under the sort of direction of Iran. And indeed, it's going to bring benefit to everyone in the region and make everyone safe and secure.
And thank you, Mr. Shahjad. And Ali, you want to weigh in on that? At the heart of these drills, these anti-terror drills, we have the IRGC completely demonized by the West, their anti-terror icon assassinated in General Qasem Soleimani 4 years ago. And then anywhere the IRGC has gone, and any activity that it's been involved in, it's been basically, at the invitation of Iraq and Syria at very desperate times for both those countries.
Well, we as the people of the West Asian nations who were attacked by the terrorism, we all know what were the blessings we had after General Martyr Qasem Soleimani went into Iraq to stop the invasion of Daesh in Iraqi provinces, as well as in Syria. General Soleimani helped the people of Syria, the people of Lebanon, to face those terrorist groups that were trying to invade the whole region. The Americans on the other side, by then, I'm talking about 2014, they were claiming that the elimination of the state of ISIS would take for at least 20 years. This was the these were the words of the a top U.S. general who became later the U.S. National Security Advisor of the first Trump administration. I'm talking about General Michael Flynn. By then, they were trying to enable those terrorist groups to invade the whole region and to topple the elected governments and to shatter the national armies of the Syrian and the Iraqi states, as well as in Lebanon, of course. But we know that the resistance fighters who were backed by the General Qasem Soleimani and Al-Quds force were able to deter those terrorists, to defeat those terrorists in many battlefields. And I think this is the main reason why the Americans took the decision to assassinate General Soleimani, because he was a true defender of the sovereignty of the nations of West Asia, because he was a true defender against the terror that was backed by the United States and its allies. So the Americans, they went to designate the real fighters of the terrorists as the so-called terrorists, when they designated the IRGC as a terrorist organization. In fact, the Americans and the Israelis and their vassals in the region, they have been the real funders and aiders of the terrorists, because we know that the U.S. hegemonic project in the region is based on using many tools. They use governments, they use terrorist groups, and they use many other terrorist tactics. Of course, in the case of Iran, your report mentioned that there were 17,000 victims of terror inside Iran during the last four decades. We all know that Khalq terrorist organization is being aided by the Americans. They are being hampered, and they have a huge compound in Bosnia. They are being funded by the Americans and other regional parties. And the main mission of those terrorists is to carry out terrorist attacks inside Iran. I think that Iran has, made it clear that they cannot play easy when dealing with the terrorists. And during the last aggression on Iran, the 12 days war, we have seen that such terrorists, they can play a major role in the benefit of the aggressors. They have been using them as tools to enable the targets of the aggression held by the Americans and the Zionists. So it's important now that Iran and its neighbors and the SCO member states and other players would come together to share the experience here and to learn the lessons that Iran has been experiencing during the last years.
And those are very good points, Ali. Thank you for sharing them. And Mr. Shahjad, these drills underway. Iran says for most of the part, they're in East Azerbaijan province. Some small dimensions are also taking place in the Persian Gulf. But Iran says that they're more than just a military drill. The exercise sends multi-layered strategic messages across political, security, and economic arenas for the region and a world. What do you suppose that message is?
Well, that message is very clear. It's clear that the regional governments and nations have come together, united, to work together to eliminate this sort of abuses. abuses, which have been supported and promoted by the West.
Mm.
And also it gives very clear signal as regard as legitimacy of sort of regional power armed forces in actually coming together to do this. I mean, look, General Soleimani, whatever they say in the West, which indeed is not even goes as far as considering him as a terrorist, but he was sanctioned, financial sanction under terrorism. But nevertheless, the fact is around the world and in the region itself, he got the largest and the biggest funeral that anyone could get. This is a military man who they accuse of being sort of involved in unsavory acts of terrorism. But in the region, he is seen in a completely different way. And this exercises right now, it actually re-emphasized that in region, governments and people are recognizing the legitimacy of coming together of these powers and these armed forces to eradicate the greatest danger to the safety and security in the region, which indeed is being orchestrated and supported by the West and the Zionist state.
Thank you, Mr. Shajari. And Ali, for years we've seen the usual suspects usually hold drills. We hear of them annually, U.S. and South Korea, obviously U.S. and Indonesia, the U.S. and the Philippines. We have these the MILEX, the European Union's annual drills they've had for a few years going now. We haven't seen anything new and unconventional. We have, but not often, albeit unconventional, we say today, but perhaps this is the new emerging normal for tomorrow. So what is the signal for a changing global order, these new emerging alliances?
Well, of course, we know that the Americans now, they are trying to affect the way that the new world order is going to shape, because they know they can't control the issue anymore. They know that other actors have already emerged, and they want to have their share in the new world order. The unipolar world order is over. And now, if you take a look to the Asian powers, you got China, mainly, you got Russia, and you got Iran, and you got Pakistan, you got other, you got India, of course. Those states, I don't think that the Americans in their vision towards the remaining decades of this century, they want any regional Asian power to be competing with them and maybe sharing the new world order with them. That's why, if you take a look, for example, to India, even if the Americans were signaling they're willing to be friends with India and to enforce the Indians and to help them economically and on other levels, they would not accept a thriving in India that would put the Indians to be their competitors. The same goes for other Asian states. That's why I think that this is the right timing now that all Asian powers to put the division, what divides them aside and come together to cooperate, because the West, led by the United States, they are looking into the East as if there's a threat to endanger their hegemony over the world order. That's why they are dealing with every state divided on its own. You know the saying that says, united we stand, divided we fall.
Mm.
I think this is the main proverb that Asian powers should keep in mind in the next decades, in the next years and decades, because the Americans are trying to topple all powers of the East. They don't want any cooperation to take place between China and other Asian powers such as Iran, Pakistan, even India. And of course, they don't want a Eurasian connection when we are talking about the major role of Russia here. That's why the war in Ukraine is still going, and the Americans, they are not actually proving that they really want to end the war. It's in their favor. That's why I think that Russia, China, Iran, Pakistan, and even India, they can make a different sphere of influence in the whole region, in the whole Eurasian region. And I think that the Americans know that, and they don't want to see such drills taking part among the Central Asian states as the Sahan 2025 today in Iran.
All right, gentlemen, thank you both. Time has gotten the better of us, but appreciate having you both on. It was a pleasure checking in with both of you. Mr. Masoud Shajadeh there joining us from London, and Mr. Ali Murad joining us from Beirut. And this brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, kids.
Hey, man.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hi.
My brothers, my sisters, and all of my gentle friends. This is a song that I have learned. Let's sing it.
Welcome
to
Kids Corner. And you know, you're not going to go wrong when you're at Kids Corner.
We say assalamu alaikum.
alaikum, assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, dude.
Assalamu alaikum, alaikum, assalam.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good job. Mashallah, you guys are doing it. Ah, good question. Good question. I'm about to answer that question.
He knows everything, past or future, and aware of every word or gesture. Whatever we do is under his sight, be it done in the dark or in the light.
Kids Corner! أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله طيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد وعجل فرجهم. Welcome, dear listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And this is Brother Ali at Kids
Corner.
All right, welcome everyone. You're at the right place and at the right time. Man, this is Kids Corner.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Come to the masjid. Come to the masjid. Wash and pray. Wash and pray. These are the things that will keep the devil away.
And brothers and sisters, what were we talking about in the last session?
Etiquette of leaving the house.
Very good. Leaving, how do we leave the house? Islam talks about that too. Can you believe that? Islam talks about how to eat. Eating etiquette. Drinking. Sitting. What else did we talk about?
How to perform salat.
Salat?
Salat.
Salat? Etiquette? We talked about that.
Drinking etiquette.
Drinking. Okay, we talked about that.
Dressing etiquette.
Dressing etiquette. Uh-huh. We talked about that. And we talked about sitting. And we're going to talk about, leaving the house. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the etiquette of leaving the house. And then we're going to talk about traveling etiquette in the same session. Tell me, what did we say? When we leave the house, what should we say? Imam Radha alayhi salam, there was a saying of Imam Radha.
We should say this ayah, that Bismillah.
It's not an ayah, but it's... okay.
It's
Bismillah, say, very
Bismillah,
good.
Amantu billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, masha'allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, al aliyy al azim.
Ahsan! Salawat, please, for the young lady. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Good job.
Yeah. Woohoo! Good job, people.
Great. So we said, Hashim, if we do this, if we say this, what is the philosophy behind this? Do you have an idea? Like, when we say this, when we get out of the house, what does that say?
It says that Allah protects us and the angel comes to us.
That is a saying of the Holy Prophet.
Yeah.
There's another saying. But I'm saying, what do we learn? Like when we say this, like we say, Bismillah, amantu billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
We're remembering Allah?
They're remembering Allah. Very good.
Way to go!
So when we remember Allah, when we leave the house, just when we step out of the house, we remember Allah, then are we going to go out and sin? No, we're not going to do that. Right? Because we're remembering, we're so much, mashallah, we're remembering Allah right when we leave the house. Correct? Then we won't sin. Correct? So that's good. And then, like you said, Sumayya, that there's a saying of the Holy Prophet, that the angels say, like when you say Bismillah, angels say that you're safe, you know, and yeah, that is mm-hmm. different. Very good. Ahsant. Now, we say when we say this and we take out sadaqah, when we are in the neighborhood, we greet people. We don't just walk without noticing them. No, we greet people. Doesn't matter, young or old, doesn't matter. We greet them, correct? Mm-hmm. And then what else do we do?
If not in a hurry, we help an old person.
Very good.
Person or a kid or something.
Or anyone, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody needs help, any brother, and especially old people, like, need help, you know, if you're not hurry. If you're in a hurry, then go to school, man. You're going to be late for school, right? If you are not late for school, if you're not in a hurry, go and help someone. That's good. And you get the thawab. So you get the thawab while walking, huh? What else? We can smile. That itself is a charity. When we're walking, don't be just walking with a frown look. No, smile at people. It's good. It's charity. Okay? If you board a bus or a train, a public, you know, transportation, right? You find a seat and you go and sit and occupy the seat, and suddenly you see an old person standing. Go and offer that seat to that old person because he deserves to sit there or she deserves to sit there. Correct? Old. So offer them that and you'll get the thawab. This is how you accumulate the thawab. Okay? So we should not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us and He will reward us for showing respect to the elders. Right? So we got to keep that in mind when you're walking.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Now, since we're talking about etiquette of leaving the house, and let's talk about what Islam says about traveling. Okay? Do you like traveling?
I love.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
I went to Isfahan.
Okay.
And then I went to... I don't remember.
What else? Hamadan?
No, I went to only Mashhad.
Mashhad, beautiful. Yeah. Mashallah. How about you? Do you travel a lot?
No.
Okay.
I've traveled a bit.
Okay. I'll tell you now what Islam says about traveling, okay? First of all, you should know it's very healthy and nice to travel. Very. Islam encourages traveling and sightseeing. Our imams have talked about it. Quran tells us to. What does Quran say? I'll tell you. The Holy Quran in Surah Ankabut, ayah number 20, says,
قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Say, travel through the earth and see how Allah did originate creation. So will Allah produce a later creation, for Allah has power over all things. Okay, what do we understand from this? It's basically telling us to travel. Quran is telling us to travel and see how Allah originated the creation, how He created everything. Okay, and how He'll produce more things later on. Basically, it's telling us to travel. So when we travel, there are so many things that we can look and ponder and say, Mashallah, Subhanallah, right? For example, when we travel, suppose you go to China, you will see different color people, you know, and different kinds of people. Their eyes are different. Subhanallah, huh? And their language is totally different, man. Oh, my God. Did you ever see how they write? Can you read it?
They write up to down.
Yeah. It's amazing, huh? Their handwriting, the script that they have is amazing. Then you see the language is different. Their writing, their culture is different. They eat with chopsticks.
Oh, yeah. I've seen films.
Yeah. And so all different, subhanAllah, just a few thousand miles away, and you'd come in a totally different place, like you're an alien there. You're like, oh my God, where am I, you know? Correct? So you learn a lot when you go and see, and you say, subhanAllah, Allah created all of these beings, and they're so different. They're humans, but their actions, their face, their color, or their language, everything is different, huh? But they're still humans, okay? And when we travel, we see history. We see the old ruins of the old castles. Mm. Did you go to Isfahan? You saw the old castles?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
You say, oh my God, these kings used to live here. Mm. And now where are they? They're dead. Mm. These big palaces they used to live in like and live like kings. They're like ruins right now. Huh? One time they were very powerful. Where are they? They're in the grave. So when we go, we travel, we look at these things, we ponder that these people who were very powerful at one time, where are they? They're in the grave. These palaces, you know, had so much like pomp and glory. What happened? Now they're in ruins. Correct? We look at these things, we ponder, subhanAllah. Sayyidina lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When we travel, then we won't get, if you travel and ponder, then we will not get arrogant. But some people just travel, you know, for the heck fun of it. They won't get nothing. They'll still be, if they're arrogant, they'll be arrogant, you know. But if you go travel.
They even become more arrogant because they think, yeah, I've been here, I've been there, I've been here.
Yeah, oh man, you know, I'll tell you where I've been, you know, man. I've taken a cruise, man. Oh, man. I fly first class, you know, and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, that's different. They don't ponder. If you go and ponder and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll never become arrogant. And then when we travel, we can admire the beautiful landscapes and the sceneries and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we travel.
Assalamu alaikum, Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Can you think of any nasheeds you'd like to sing?
I know one.
Okay, which one?
Little Bird.
All right. How about if you sing it on your own?
By myself?
Yeah.
Okay, inshallah.
All right.
Little bird, where has your mother gone? Why are you here all alone? Little bird, where is your nest? Why are you so far from all the rest? Allah knows the language you speak, and Allah can lift you high. Allah can bring you stronger than I. Allah is stronger than I.
So now, we talked about travel. The importance of travel. Quran says travel. Okay? There are hadith of the imams are saying, divide your time in four time slots. And one of the time slots, they said, for leisure. They said, You set it out for leisure and do some leisure act. Don't be just like studying all the time or working or praying all the time.
Or
no, have some fun also.
Or fun all the time.
Or fun all the time. Very good, Ahsan. Correct? So you got to divide your time. And one of the time slots is for leisure activities. Yeah, what's up?
I think it was supposed to separate it into three parts.
Some three or some four. Yeah. Okay, now let us talk about traveling etiquette. We should start with Bismillah and take out Sadaqah. Just like when we leave the house, do that. The intention of travel should be pure, like visiting the relatives, sightseeing, appreciating the wonders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, etc. The Holy Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, select a good companion, then travel. In other words, we should select a good, pious companion. Okay? Like for example, now suppose you're going with your family. That is different. But suppose you're going alone, have a companion, good companion with you when you go. Okay? And suppose you go with family, that's fine. You can go with just with your family, that's fine. But if the companion is not pious, you know what that will happen? Then he'll play the role of shaitan. That companion who is with you, if he's not pious, then he'll lure us into doing evil things. He'll say things like, you know what? There's nobody here. Your family is back there, man. We can do anything we want. Let's sin. God forbid. He'll lure us into sinning. But if the companion is pious, then he will take us towards good. Because he'll refrain from evil, and he'll tell us to refrain from evil. God forbid, if we are going towards evil. Correct? So, have a good companion. Then the vacation that we go will count as ibadat. Because when we go out with a pious companion, when we look at the scenery of, we'll be saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, mashallah, you know, and we'll be thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll stay away from haram, and we'll truly appreciate the vacation by glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying alhamdulillah. So we'll be remembering Allah if we are with a good companion. But if we are with an evil one, God forbid, then this is going to be really bad. Correct? Make sense? Okay. All right. Then Islam says we should, before we leave, we select a good companion, we should pack up the essential food, etc. for the journey.
Yeah, packing.
Yeah, pack up your stuff and pack some good food too. Take some food. Okay? So, for the journey. Otherwise, you'll be in the train and you'll be hungry, or, you know, if they don't offer food, whatever, or if you don't have the money to buy food. So, you need to have good food. And before we leave, we should bid farewell to the friends and neighbors and the relatives. There's a saying of the Holy Prophet regarding this. Or more or less saying the same thing, basically. Okay? The gist of the hadith of the Holy Prophet is this. We should bid farewell to the relatives or the neighbors, you know. And when we board the plane, train, or bus, or the vehicle, we should recite
Bismillah.
Okay, Bismillah. And then, do you remember? Subhanalladhi sakhkara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Do you remember this ayah? Do you know this ayah? These are two ayahs. Surah Zukhruf, ayah number 13 and 14. We recite this.
وَتَقُولُوا سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ.
You can memorize this ayah, these ayahs, okay, when you go home. Zukhruf, ayah 13 and 14. It's very good when you board a plane, when you board a train, what have you. Just recite this and you'll be, inshallah, protected. Basically, we're saying, glory to him who has subjected these, that means these vehicles, whatever, to our use. For we could never be able to do it. Because it's him, right? He arranges these things. We think that we have the money, that's why we're flying. But alhamdulillah, we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to our Lord, surely must we turn back. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And to our Lord, surely must we turn back. So we're thinking of Allah, we're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're thanking him, right? And he will protect us from any calamities, inshallah. And also recite Ayat al-Kursi. Do you guys memorize Ayat al-Kursi, inshallah? Okay, good. Recite Ayat al-Kursi. And recite Surah Hamd. Surah Tawheed. You know what Surah Tawheed is?
Surah Ikhlas.
Very good. Surah Ikhlas. And what is that?
recite?
Yeah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu